The day you step off your back porch, and your foot disappears 3 inches into what should be solid ground, that's not the beginning of the problem. That's the end of your warning window. The slow drain had been there for months, the kind of flush that clears eventually, but makes you wait for it. The kind that gets blamed on tree roots, or a partial clog, 2 sections down the line. There's a rubber plug sitting on my workbench right now, something I've been using for 15 years, that has everything to do with why that kind of ending never happened to me. But I'm getting to that. A full drain field failure on a residential property runs between $15,000 and $30,000. That estimate doesn't include excavation, landscaping repair, permit fees in states that require them, or the 3 to 4 weeks of contractor scheduling that happens after you've already been told the bad news. I've watched a neighbor go through it. I helped another friend dig up the evidence with a probe rod. Stood in his backyard while he pulled the core sample, and we both smelled what the soil was doing. The drain field had been saturated for long enough that there was nothing to save. The tank was full, the D-box was pushing solids downstream, and the leach field was holding standing effluent within 8 inches of the surface. Everything you're going to hear in this episode prevents that outcome. Every single part of it is maintenance, not repair. That's the distinction that matters here. Before you can protect a system, you have to understand what it actually does. Wastewater leaves your house through one main drain line and flows by gravity into the septic tank, buried 3 to 10 feet underground somewhere in your yard. Inside that tank, biology takes over. Waste separates into 3 distinct layers, a floating scum layer at the top, made of fats, oils, and lighter organic material, a middle layer of clarified liquid called effluent, and a bottom layer of heavy solids called sludge. Bacteria living inside the tank work constantly to break down that organic load. The middle layer, the effluent, flows out through an outlet baffle at the far end of the tank, into a distribution box, and from there into the drain field or leach field through a series of perforated pipes laid in gravel trenches. The effluent percolates down through the gravel and soil, where additional bacterial filtration happens as it moves toward groundwater depth. When the system is healthy, the waste essentially disappears. No odor at the surface, no sign in the yard, just biology doing what it has been doing for decades. The system fails in one primary way. You let the sludge and scum layers grow until they breach the outlet baffle. Partially treated solids flow into the distribution box and out into the drain field where they don't belong. The perforated pipes and gravel bed were designed to handle clarified effluent, not solid organic material. The solids clog the gravel and then the soil, and over time, a biological mat called a biomat seals the percolation surface completely. The soil can't absorb anything. Effluent backs up. It surfaces, and then you're calling contractors. The whole disaster is delayed, in most cases prevented entirely, by one maintenance task that homeowners skip until symptoms force their hand. Regular pumping. Every 3 to 5 years for a household of 4 people is the standard residential interval. Smaller households can stretch to 6 or 7 years with careful water habits. Larger households, or any house with a garbage disposal sending food waste into the system, should pump every 2 to 3 years. If you don't know when your tank was last pumped, and most people genuinely don't, schedule a pump and ask the technician to measure the sludge depth first. A good pump operator will record that measurement and give you a return interval based on the actual accumulation rate in your specific tank. That number is more accurate than any formula. The formula tells you an average. The measurement tells you your system. I'll tell you the mistake I made, because it's exactly the kind of comfortable neglect that ends in a 5-figure invoice. When we bought this property, the previous owner told me the septic system was practically new and had never given him any trouble. I took him at his word. Didn't pull inspection records. Didn't ask when the tank had been pumped last. Just moved in and figured we'd deal with it when we had to. That was year one. By year four, I had slow drains in the master bath. By year five, I had a rotten egg smell coming from the clean-out access port in the side yard after a heavy rain. The sulfur smell, that means the tank gases are finding a pressure path that shouldn't exist. The driver opened the lid, dropped a measuring stick, and told me the sludge was within 8 inches of the outlet baffle. 6 months more, and I'd have been sending unprocessed solids into the field. He pumped it in 40 minutes, charged me $350, and said I'd gotten lucky. I filed the return date he wrote on the receipt. I've pumped on schedule every time since. That's the rubber plug on my bench. Not the story, the lesson, but the plug itself still needs explaining. Here is what I use that piece of rubber for, and why it became something I never open a septic access without. When you lift the lid on a septic tank or distribution box access riser, you're opening the interior atmosphere of the system to the air around you. Hydrogen sulfide, the compound responsible for the rotten egg smell, is heavier than air. It pools at low openings. In high concentrations, which can occur in confined space situations around improperly ventilated tanks, it is immediately dangerous. In the concentrations you'll typically encounter doing residential inspection at the surface, it's unpleasant, but not life-threatening. But that's not the point. The point is that once you have the lid off and you're working on your knees with a measuring rod or a bubble level, your hands free, and a loose lid creates both a gas release path and a fall-into hazard for kids, pets, or yourself if you step back without looking. A thick rubber plug set gently over the access opening doesn't form a permanent seal. It just sits there, reducing passive outgassing and marking the open access if you step away from it. I've used it to cover a D-box access while I walk the drain field perimeter to look for wet spots. I've used it when I needed both hands on a probe rod at the far side of the tank. 25 cents at an estate sale 15 years ago. And it's one of the first things in the kit every time I open that yard hatch. The smell you're tracking in day-to-day life is different from the one at the access. What you're listening for inside the house is any sulfur smell coming from a drain when no access point is open. That smell, rising from a toilet base or a floor drain, means the tank is venting back toward the living space. Check the plumbing vent stacks on your roof. A blocked vent is one of the most common causes of pressure inversions that push tank gas toward the living quarters. The system needs air moving in the right direction to move liquid and gas in the right direction. Block the vent, and the system finds another path. The distribution box is where a lot of failures begin, and most homeowners have never seen one. It sits between the tank outlet and the beginning of the drain field lines, buried 6 to 18 inches down, usually somewhere between the tank and the first lateral of the field. Its job is to receive effluent from the tank outlet pipe and distribute it evenly across all the drain field laterals. When the D-box is level and the outlets are clear, the load distributes evenly and the field wears consistently. When the D-box has shifted, frost heave moves them, soil settling moves them, any significant ground disturbance can move them, it tilts, and the outlets on the low side receive a disproportionate share. Those laterals saturate. Biomat forms in those sections. The system shows symptoms of failure, while the other laterals sit underloaded and perfectly functional. You replace a drain field that was still half usable because one outlet was overworked for years. Pull the D-box lid once a year. What you should see: a clear water level at or just below the outlet pipe inlets during dry conditions. Unobstructed outlet pipes with no solid material blocking them, and the box itself sitting level. I put a small bubble level on the floor of the box every time I open it. A half inch tilt is enough to create long-term distribution problems. If the water level is standing above the outlet pipes and not moving, something downstream is backing up. If the box is completely dry, something is blocking flow between the tank and the box. Both conditions are worth investigating before they get expensive. The additives on the hardware store shelf next to the plungers deserve a clear answer. Most don't do what they claim, and some enzyme-based products actively disrupt the biology that makes your system work. The bacterial populations in a healthy septic tank are already enormous, in the hundreds of billions per milliliter of sludge. You don't need to supplement them, you need to stop killing them. Daily antibacterial soap use is a slow-motion problem. Large single-event disinfectant flushes, running a heavy bleach solution through the plumbing system all at once, can crash the bacterial count and take weeks to recover. Flushable wipes, regardless of the label, break down too slowly for most systems. Coffee grounds don't break down at all for practical purposes. Cooking grease forms a scum layer too fast and too thick for the bacteria to process at the rate it arrives. The system handles toilet paper and organic waste from the body. Everything else creates accumulation. Keep weight off the drain field. No vehicles on it. No heavy equipment during soft ground conditions. The compaction you create reduces the percolation area of the field without showing you any visible sign that it happened. Keep deep-rooted plants, willows, poplars, anything with aggressive lateral roots, at least 20 feet from the field perimeter. Roots find lateral lines reliably. They perforate and block them quietly over years. The sign of drain field trouble that gets missed most often: a section of lawn that stays green and thick when the surrounding grass is drying out. Effluent near the surface acts as fertilizer before the smell reaches the air. If you see that pattern and a rain event brings a sewer smell with it, get a probe rod in the ground and check the soil at depth. What the sounds in your house are telling you: a single slow drain points upstream of itself between that fixture and the main line. Multiple slow drains across different parts of the house simultaneously point downstream, toward the tank, the D-box, or the field. Gurgling from a drain you're not using means air is moving through the system in the wrong direction, which points back to the vent stacks or a blockage creating back pressure. These distinctions tell you whether you're looking at a localized clog or a system problem before you start spending money diagnosing the wrong thing. Water conservation is part of maintenance, not an afterthought. A clothes washer, run on back-to-back daily loads, pushes large volumes into the tank in a short window, giving the bacteria less time to process and the field less time to drain between loading cycles. Spreading laundry across the week instead of stacking it all on Saturday gives the system recovery time. A dripping faucet adding 30 gallons a day doesn't sound like much until the drain field is near saturation and can't distinguish between waste-bearing water and clean drip water. It just fails. Small habits extend field life by years. What right looks like and feels like: drains that clear quickly and fully, with no sound from vent pipes, no sulfur smell from any fixture except at the access points during inspection. No unusually green or fast-growing sections over the drain field. A pump schedule you keep without waiting for symptoms to force it. And a D-box that sits level with clear outlets every year when you check it. You open the lid. You confirm. You close it. You don't wonder about the system. You know it's healthy because you verified it before anything went wrong. Here's the question I'll leave the shop with. If your municipality required a professional septic inspection every 3 years, the same way a car needs a state emissions check, and you had to produce a passing certificate to renew your homeowner's insurance, would that be a reasonable public health protection or government overreach into private property maintenance? There's no clean answer. Come tell us where you land.